Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music.
Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 76 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Grimlock, a.k.a. Philip Keeney, and I'm joined tonight by Jason Andrews, a.k.a. Neons. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. It's, what is today? Saturday?
Today is Saturday.
Technically the first.
It is not technically. It just is the first. It is 2022. We were supposed to have a podcast before the end of 2021. And then there was some fire in Colorado. Kind of a lot of it. It was kind of scary. And that affected Mike. And we did not get a podcast recorded Thursday night. And then last night was New Year's Eve. And, well, I mean, come on. We're not going to record a podcast on New Year's Eve. So here we are on January 1st, and we're just going to kick off 2022 with a podcast. So I guess that's what we do here at TriCast Gaming.
Yeah.
So
it's all about that podcast.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, though, because we haven't got to hang out much this week either. So.
No, we haven't. Yeah, we've been talking about getting together to game, in the coming time. But you had some family come in, and I had some family in. And so, yeah, just, you know, which is good. It just didn't really, you know, materialize for us playing. It's funny, even earlier today, I messaged you and asked if you wanted to play after the show. And really the reason is because my cousin has been wanting to play a ton. I haven't played with him either. And so I've told him that me and you were possibly going to play some State of Decay. And so he's asking me like, are y'all playing tonight? Cause I really want to play.
Yeah. That sucks. Cause like the thing about that game is I want to try to do the Heartland campaign. Yeah.
And, which I've not done it.
Yeah.
So it'd be good for me too.
What I don't know is like, if you play one night and I don't play, like, are we going to get way off?
I don't know how much you remember with State of Decay, but it's very much session based in that like you host a server and we join in on you, right? And because it's like a base, we're there, but we aren't progressing like what you are quite the same, right? Like your base is progressing. Our character is all that progresses. That's it. And so the way that my plan on this is to work is you will load in. It will be your base, your story, and we will only play when you play.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll just play other games. You know what I mean? Like, we have other things to play, but that will be the experience. Like, we'll do the story mode, and so we'll get to go through Heartland, and I'll experience it together, or not at all.
Gotcha. Like, okay.
That's
it.
Yeah,
no, that sounds like a reasonable enough plan to me. Yeah, it's just really hard these days because, like, I have my own personal gaming that I want to get done. Like, I'm trying to finish the Halo Infinite campaign, which I did. I put in another pretty
big... Does it feel painful at this point?
To playing the campaign?
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying it, or does it feel like I just have to
complete
this?
No. I'm having fun. Like, I definitely am having fun. I'll talk about it when we get to what we're playing. But, I'm trying to get through that campaign... But then also, like, I've got my dad who wants to play Ghost Recon still. And actually, he's got 100 hours or more in this game already.
Oh, yeah. He's loving it.
He plays it, like, nonstop. He loves it. And then I've got, I haven't even played Rocket League much. I've got people
wanting me to... When he was over for the Christmas holiday, did y'all get to play together at your house? Or
no,
how does it work?
No.
It's split screen.
Yeah, no. We actually watched The Matrix Resurrections, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
Yeah.
But we watched that, and then the next night, so last night, New Year's Eve, we kind of all got together, like my mom and my sister and my wife, and we all kind of got together and played some card games and stuff.
Yeah.
But so it's just like there's just a lot because you've got people like my brother and Tyler. They want to play Halo Infinite multiplayer. I'm trying to play the Halo Infinite campaign. I got my dad wanting to play Ghost Recon. There's Rocket League sometimes in there, which I haven't even played much Rocket League, which makes me crap at the game, obviously, because I'm not playing regularly. You know, it's just a lot. I feel like there's a lot of different directions. And then, of course, I picked up FIFA, which I'm going to talk about a little bit. And so I've got a friend that he's like, are we going to do the objectives in FIFA? Are we going to go do the objectives? Are we going to do the co-op objectives?
Do I know him? Who is it?
is Ray. Have you played with Ray before?
Yeah.
I have. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, shout out to Ray. I know Ray listens to the show sometimes. So, yeah, it's just, it's a lot. I feel like I'm being pulled in a lot of directions from a gaming perspective right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit
totally
overwhelmed.
Absolutely get that.
My thing, though, is that I don't want to blow you off on this because I do want us to start playing some of these games together. And I'm like, if I just keep blowing you off, you're going to be like, fuck it, I'm not going to try anymore. And so, like, it's just, it's tough, man. It is really tough. But how has your week been?
I mean, to be fair, though, it's not like we don't game together. We just almost always just play Rocket League. That's it.
It's true.
And I mean, I could walk over, plug in my or turn on my Xbox and play FIFA with you, but the problem is I play FIFA on my PC and you play it on your console, and for whatever reason there's no crossplay between the two, which drives me nuts.
It's lame.
Freaking drives me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to get FIFA 22 now, though, because
I don't have FIFA 22. Year now. I know, I get that. Yeah. I get that, but I'm just saying we've had a lot of opportunity. We both play a lot of FIFA. And don't really play together much at all.
Yeah. So. But no, I'm specifically talking about the story-based games, you know,
like State of Decay, or
you know, maybe Borderlands or Fallout or something, you know. But anyway, what's your Christmas week been like?
Pretty good. I mean, obviously we had that, you know, the deal with my kid, you know, being sick, and then family coming in, and then, you know, just a lot of just resting. And you know, not really doing a whole lot. You know, I mean, I worked basically every day except for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you know, just trying desperately to finish projects and get things done in time enough for these big, you know, conferences and expos and shows that are going on next month. And then one of our biggest ones canceled on Christmas Eve. So, New Year's Eve. It's kind of like, well, all that work meant nothing.
That's
great.
That's pretty lame.
So,
it's COVID related, I guess.
Yeah, they canceled because of COVID. Yep. Cool. And so it'll be interesting to see if, you know, I've got three others, like, you know, one after another, which one of those cancel or not. But at this point, that's one more show this month that I'm going to get to attend that I wasn't going to. So,
well, there you go.
I was borderline going to miss two, you know, at least two, maybe three episodes this month. And now, you know, maybe one. So,
well, that's good. We'll that I like to hear, you know. I'm sorry that you don't get to go to Vegas or Cabo or wherever the hell you were going to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I've recorded in a hotel once before with, you know, on this. So I'm not saying I couldn't do it.
Right.
But a lot of times at these, you know, when I was doing that, that was more of just out traveling. This is at these expos and I'm at dinner with clients a lot and things like that. It just is much less likely to happen.
Yes. Yeah, so. No, for sure. I've been there before. We haven't had to travel much since all this COVID stuff started.
Right.
I honestly think people just use it at this point. I think people are just using it as an excuse because they don't want to have to get out of their gym shorts and socks and actually have to go somewhere. But I genuinely believe that.
It's a lot of money. Like, as a company, we save a ton of money when not doing these shows.
It's true, but we spend so much.
No, you say that. We're having, like, major record years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like we lose so much by not getting in person. Like, we'll get on these meetings. We'll get on these meetings, and there's, like, 100 people on these Zoom calls, right?
Yeah.
But when we travel, there's like 20 people in the room. So you really got to question, like, do these other 80 people really need to be here? They're not saying anything. Could they be doing something else? Are they even paying attention? Or are they doing something else? And then also, like, I mean, I'm just going to admit, like, when I'm not needed on a meeting, sometimes I zone out on Twitter instead of actually working. So are they doing that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And then, like, you don't get any of the side conversations. You don't get the face-to-face interaction.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. There's a relationship that gets involved there, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm in sales. I mean, that's what I do. is, you know, small talk and
yeah. And there's, you know, been a lot of turnover in our program over the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bunch of people that, like, all I've seen is a name on a video, on a phone call. Like, yeah. they haven't even really spoken, but yeah. they're a name on the phone call every week. And I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Right, right.
Like, so I don't know. I just, I feel like at this point, you know, we need to, you know, I don't want to travel. Yeah, I don't want to travel every month, but I, you know, a couple times here and there.
I was listening last night to a stand-up comic, and he goes, "Do you think we overreacted to COVID?" And the crowd like cheers, like, "Yeah!" And he goes, "You think so? You know, a lot of survivors think that." He goes, "But you know what? If we could pull the dead, I bet they would like, we could have done more."
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that. It just was really funny. It just kind of goes along the line with what you're saying. Like, because I'm at that point where, like, I totally believe in it. You know, we've had, you know, one of our listeners' wives that, you know, was definitely right. ill with
yeah.
it. And I mean, you know, and I know a lot of people who've been majorly affected. I'm a big time believer, all that stuff, but I'm tired of it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What was it? I saw something like, I don't remember what it was, one of the New Year's Eve things, and it was a poll of like, if you could have one New Year's Eve resolution or wish or whatever, it was like, what was it? And it was like,
COVID
overwhelmingly, like, everyone was like, let's go back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I think people are just pretty well over it at this point. But that's neither here nor there. We're not a COVID podcast, but it is. I don't know. I'm glad that you're going to be here for more shows this next month. Let's put it that way. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Before we kind of get into what we're playing, I mean, any cool gifts? I mean, one of them is just staring at me on the screen.
Oh yeah, so my six-year-old got me, we always take them to Five Below and let them just pick out stuff that it costs like nothing, right? And mm-hmm. and they send it to, you know, they each get gifts for immediate family and stuff like that. And he picked out a green screen for me to stream with, so I've started streaming up and been doing that. And so I've got this big green screen up because we're using Zencaster to record, and Zencaster is awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, our sound is, you know, what I think is really fantastic.
Right.
We view each other because we get a lot of feedback for the show, but we don't publish that. And Zencaster doesn't let you use a green screen. So it just looks like I have a green screen instead of an actual background behind me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just staring at me this whole show. It almost looks like you've got like a peacock tail or something, like, you know.
Oh, so, and that's the next
giant
thing
plumage behind your head.
Well, it's not like a traditional like full blanket screen behind me. It's one of these where it's this like giant circle that just like straps to my gaming chair, and so then it's like portable, and I can like fold it up and like put it in a little bag and carry it with me for whatever reason if I needed to be streaming in hotels, I guess. But but yeah, just strap, it's out of the way, like it's attached to my chair, and so I can just spin and swivel, and it's this big peacock tail up in the air, but it's not like in the way of, you know, anything. Or it just looks like I have a really tall, wide green gaming chair in person, but you know, on the stream you can't tell at all. And so I've gotten back into streaming because of that, so that's really the biggest like gift. I mean, look, it's a tiny thing from Five Below that my six-year-old got me, and it's by far the thing I love the most. Like you know, the other big Christmas gift I got is just I got it, like, I had to open it, you know, a month early. Was my wife got me Secret Labs Batman Edition 2022 Titan Evo gaming chair. So I mean, right. that's a $500, you know, gift.
It's a nice chair.
Not bad. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Which it's super comfortable. You know, I like it. It's good. So the two things that I really got that I love the most for Christmas, I'm using right this second.
Sitting in it. Just, yeah. No, that's great. Yeah, no, I my Christmas gift was a new computer, which was kind of like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I got it like last July or August, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get you.
You know,
it was the same thing. Like my wife, I got her a puppy for Christmas, but she's had it. I mean, it's 13 weeks old now, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, because like I had to upgrade and so... Because I do a lot of work from home, we were like, yeah, it's reasonable that, you know, you get a computer and everything. And then I was like, well, you know, if we think like, you know, $700 or $750 is like reasonable for a good business computer, you know, how about my Christmas gift be like you pay the difference to get me a nice gaming computer?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I weaseled my way into that.
I'm not trying to out you or anything. You don't have to answer this totally, but like just out of curiosity, like what kind of in the ballpark budget, like what did you like have to spend for a gaming rig these days?
So I got it from Costco and it's a Lenovo.
Yeah. Is this your laptop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. It's my laptop. And,
so a gaming laptop.
It is a gaming laptop. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what all the specs were on it now at this point.
What's the graphics card that's in it?
It was not, geez, I wish I could remember now. You put me on, I brought this up on myself. So, I would have known this, you know, obviously a few months ago. At the time it was like a year old. It was like 12 to 18 months old in terms of the graphics card, but 12 to 18 months ago it would have been like right at the top of the line for laptop gaming cards. I think it was like a 30 something, I think is what it was.
Okay. So my gaming laptop that I use when I travel at this point is probably 3 years old ish. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so it was the best gaming laptop you could buy at the time, and it's got a 1070 in it. So, which I mean, look, runs everything.
Yeah,
runs absolutely everything on the market, but not necessarily at the highest, you know, frames or whatever. But runs everything smooth and runs great. But I mean, 1080s were out then. There were no 1080s in mobile at the time. You know, like 1070 was the best, you know, like mobile graphics card you could get.
Right.
So that's what I run on my mobile version. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It was what I got was, I would say, is probably like medium tier gaming laptop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think normally it was retailing for like $1,300 or $1,400.
Yeah.
And Costco had it down to 1,000.
Yeah. That's about probably obviously, what I did with mine. It was around 1,000.
Yeah. So obviously you have to have a membership there, but we have a membership for all kinds of other reasons. So, to me, it was just saved money. So, but that's how I was able to get it. Otherwise, I mean, that's probably a little stretch for me, but I needed something nice, especially from a CPU perspective. That was really what I was going for because, iRacing is so CPU heavy because you've got all these other people, instanced into what you're doing. So it just uses a lot of CPU. And if you're limited there, you get into the situation where like people are popping in or you don't see them until you're really close. Mm-hmm. So like, or it, like what was happening on my previous laptop is like, if there was any more than like 9 other cars in a race, it was all she wrote. I couldn't run.
Couldn't handle it.
So, that was why I really went for that. So like, I know that it was like a, what are we on, 11th gen Intel now?
I don't know. I
can't remember.
When it comes to CPUs, I'm an AMD guy, so.
Yeah, okay. So
GPUs,
if we're on...
I'm a NVIDIA guy, but on CPUs, I'm an AMD, and I always end up having to go to I always use Tom's Hardware website. He has a hierarchy chart, and I use that for both GPUs and CPUs to compare because I only know what I regularly deal and work with. And so when I try to like cross over, I'm like, I don't know.
I got you. So I think like the newest, I think the newest things coming out now is the Intel 11th gen. So this has a 10th gen, I think.
Okay.
Whatever the newest is, I have the one just before that.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it's the 10th. I think it's the 10th gen i7 is what it is in there.
Yeah.
And then I want to say, gosh, I don't know. I'm just guessing now at this point. I want to say it was The graphics card was a 20-something mobile version. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
Which when I looked it up, it was sort of like that.
2060, 2070, sort of, something like that.
Yeah. So when I looked it up, it was like right at that top of the mid-tier in mobile graphics cards.
Yeah.
So obviously there are better computers out there. Mm-hmm. But it was no slouch. And so,
oh, yeah, for sure. Well, again, we'll do everything on the market.
Yeah. It's been great for iRacing. I get like 200 frames per second on iRacing now, which is nice. Fucking glorious. Yeah. You need that for iRacing. Yeah. Whereas before I'd be getting like 45 frames per second and cars jumping in and out of my, in my instance. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, anything else from the Christmas period before we get into the show? Or
I guess the only other thing I'll do is I'll do a shameless plug and be like, I am streaming now and trying to stream pretty regularly every night.
Yeah.
And I am streaming specifically. So my Twitch name is Neons11. So Neons11, just because some other jerk took Neons. So I'm Neons11. But once you're on my podcast, everything I have tries to loop back to the podcast. So like all of my stuff is TriCast Gaming P1, but there's nothing like on my actual, like you can't get to my stream from TriCast Gaming. So it's just, you'll have to find me via Neons11, but I'm really trying to funnel as many people back to the podcast as possible.
Yeah, that's great.
At this point, I've played a little bit with Mike. That's really the only other person on that I've streamed with from the podcast. The only other thing that I'll say that's just kind of how streaming goes and is hilarious is do you know what Canva is? Like Canva.com?
No, I do not.
Okay. So it's like a graphic, graphic artist kind of software that's not free. We pay for a monthly subscription for it. My wife's really good with it, so she can create logos and backgrounds, do all this cool stuff with it. And so when I was getting all of my stuff set up for my Twitch stream, she was on there and designing my logo and designing my backdrops and designing my cutaway scenes and all that kind of stuff. And so we streamed that process of her sitting down and showing the screen of her doing it all and plugging it all in. Mm-hmm. And it's over double any view count that I have from all of my streams.
So people really just want to know how to do that stuff.
Over double. Is the episode where she got on. I was never on camera. I'm just sitting beside her and she's on camera and she's just designing my stream. And it was by far my most viewed stream to this point. Not even close.
So do you think it's because it was
triple.
Do you think it was because it was your wife, as in a female on camera, or do you think it was because of what she was doing?
Probably a combination.
Yeah. It probably was.
The thing is it's unfortunately, yeah, that's exactly right. It's probably a full combination, because the thing that they say, is look, if you go to Twitch right now, and it populates, if I go to I'm going to stream Apex Legends, good luck, because there's a gajillion people doing it. But she's on there just chatting or whatever and showing her screen. Right. There's less people. So there's a higher chance you're found. Versus just in the mix of a gajillion people. So if you're streaming a really popular game, good luck, So there's that part of it too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't my ugly mug on camera the whole time.
It's tough because you need a popular enough game that people are looking to watch streams of it. But also if it's too popular, then you're buried at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a difficult mix. Yeah. I don't know anything about streaming. I would love to stream. I
you haven't streamed before?
So I've done it a little bit.
Yeah.
When I first started up Far Cry 6 recently, I streamed that a few nights.
Well, which I'll say this, a couple of our listeners from our podcast have actually popped in and seen me and talked to me a few times. Terrorize, call out, is one of them. Dark, which is a buddy of mine, has been on quite a bit. And I'll say that is... you know, we have had some people from the podcast that I guess early on, what happened is they early on found me when I started on the podcast and subscribed to me, even though I wasn't streaming back then.
That's
and
cool.
So then I started streaming and they got notifications.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Yeah. So the when I did the Far Cry, I want to say it was Terrorize as well, checked in the stream.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like, it's fun to like talk to somebody while you're playing a game. But the problem is that one, I can't really hold a regular schedule. And two, you know, if you only have one or zero, it can be a bit draining to try to interact with a stream that's not there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, so it's, and that's the other thing too is, you know, because I'm really new to streaming, and I really enjoy the, because like, just like how we talked in this podcast, like I enjoy the like interaction with people, right? Mm-hmm. And just talking and, you know, making jokes and laughing and stuff. And I'm not used to streaming, so I'm not used to looking at chat, right? Like I'm on my screen. And then when I look over to the, you know, like it's a screen to the right and I'm just so focused in on the game. Like I look over and 10 minutes ago, someone was like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, no, you got to really pay attention. Actually, so
I'm
something
better at that. But it's something I'm working on for sure.
Right. That's actually something like, because when I last did it, I was doing it on PS5 because I was playing Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
And it won't always show chat, but it'll show it if people are posting in it. Mm-hmm. It'll show the most recent post.
It pops up on your screen to see.
Yeah, on my screen.
See, that's like, badass.
So I can see it right. That. Like it's like it's part of my HUD basically.
Yeah.
So
it's on a full second screen on computer, and so it's really hard to know the people that are talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not like was on your game screen.
Yeah, so that's actually a really nice feature about the PS5 streaming now.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, well, we're nearly 30 minutes into this. Should we talk about some games?
Yep.
All right, because you know what? Each and every week, we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as we can handle in a week, simply because we love video games. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and a review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends, because this show continues to grow only thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platform with your questions and we'd be happy to share and answer them on this show. All right, corrections, Jason, you've done it again.
It's my thing. So last week we were talking Diablo 2 for some reason, and I called the like special ring that they use as currency the Ring of Shojin, and it is actually, and as I was saying it, I was like, that's not right. I'm going to have to look it up. So I corrected myself here. As soon as the show was over, I looked it up. It is called the Stone of Jordan. Which Stone was always Jordan. The Soj ring. Stone Soj. Of Jordan. Yes. So
there you go.
That's the correction. All I guess right. I was hearing, you know, Soj, Shojin. I don't know, but I screwed it up.
Shojin is very like Japanese.
Yeah, it is. That's any, I was like, that's not right.
Hey, I mean, I don't know anything about Diablo 2, so I can hardly correct you.
Yeah,
so.
I corrected myself. So nobody called me out. I knew immediately I was doing it wrong. I just had to wait to actually look it up, figure out what it was.
All right. Well, there you have it. Jason has corrected himself once again. All right. So let's get into what we are playing this week. And I think I will go ahead and kick it off like I normally do. So this week, as I mentioned at the top of the show, still playing a lot of Ghost Recon with my dad. We did actually finish the main campaign now. So I think at this point, I'm ready to give a rating to Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Do we get still your dad's rating?
Yeah, no. I did not ask him for a rating. Maybe I'll ask him and I'll share it next week on the show. Yeah. But, you know, before I give a rating, I want to talk about it just for a couple minutes and then I'll give a rating. I think first and foremost, I look at games, especially games like this, in light of how much fun are they to play. Especially how much fun are they to play in co-op, because that's what we did. That was how we interacted with this game. And I must say, like up front, Ghost Recon, I think, nails this. From a co-op perspective, it's very easy to jump in and out of people's games. Obviously, the map is only filled up with what I've seen, but it really tracks our progress through the quest lines well. Yeah. So, you know, you don't, it's not like what you were saying with State of Decay, where like you go into my instance and you experience the story there, but if you go out of it, you kind of, you're not there, you're not progressed along. Right. Like that's not the way Ghost Recon works at all. It tracks your individual progress through quest lines in your own books and things like that. So whether you're in the game with someone or by yourself, it really does a good job of tracking your progress and allowing you to experience the story. So I want to say first and foremost that from a co-op perspective, it is a dream type game because it really does allow you to play the game, play the story, play together, track it individually. No one's missing out on anything. Mm-hmm. No one's losing their progress every time they log out or anything like that. Like it just is, it works really well from that perspective. And then from the perspective of how fun is it to play? Again, I think this game is really fun to play. There's a lot of interesting aspects going on, a lot of tools and gadgets you can use. You can play it much more tactically, which is fun if you're into that sort of like military shooter type aspects, as in like reconning areas, setting up ambushes, patrolling, you know, coming up with an infill plan. How are you going to take out these different enemy types? You know, where's the caller, as in the guy who calls in reinforcements? Right. You know, how do I get him down? Oh, there's turrets here. How do I make sure I take those and deactivate those before they find out where I am? You know, each different type of enemy is taken out in a different way. So there's a lot of strategy there. And if you're into a military shooter from that perspective, I think this game does a really good job of it, especially once you put it on, you know, the I don't remember what it's called, like military shooter or whatever at the front, because you can play it as like a Destiny style looter game or you can play it. So as long as you put it on that mode up front. So again, from like just a fun perspective, I really think that this game does a great job there. I enjoy playing it. I have a good time playing the game. I don't feel bored or anything like that when I'm interacting with the game, as you can sometimes with some of these games. You know, there's a lot of different interactivity and how you approach situations and the weapons that you get to use and things like that, that really do make it engaging and enjoyable to play as a game. Is it as good as a Destiny? No. As a first-person shooter, there's not many things that are better than Destiny. Obviously, Ghost Recon's actually not first-person. It's a third-person shooter. But I guess I should say from a shooter perspective, there's not much that beats Destiny in terms of pure moment-to-moment fun. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it's in that upper mid-tier range of just a fun game to play, if that makes sense. You know, yep. if Destiny and Halo are right up there at the top, Call of Duty, I guess, is really well considered. You know, if you kind of come down to that mid-tier, I would say that Ghost Recon is kind of in that upper mid-tier in terms of just pure fun to play.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I want to give it props for is the map and the world. There's a lot of interesting secrets. It's fun to just explore the map, which is something that Halo, for example, Halo Infinite, is not good at.
So I'm laughing go ahead. A little bit because, you know, in previous episodes, you're like, the map is a bit repetitive. Fun game. Bad map, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, no, I'll get there. Trust me, okay. I'll get there.
Okay,
yeah, let me finish the thought. I think you'll understand Halo once I finish.
Made you
the thought.
Like if Halo's open world is so bad, you think this is good or okay?
No.
You can continue.
Yes. So I think there's a lot of interesting points in the map. There's a lot of reasons to explore it. Things that you'll find and you'll see, like there are farms for growing flowers that are really interesting. There's a giant dam. There's this island way off in the north that's like, holy shit, badass up there. Like, you got to bring your big boy pants. There's a lot of interesting weather. There's mountains that are snow-capped and things like that. Just a lot of different things to find if you explore the island. Different sceneries, different points, different things that make you go, oh shit, that was cool. I'm glad I saw that. That said, the buildings and the places that you actually perform the missions and quest lines in are very repetitive. And that is what I was kind of getting at in previous episodes.
Yeah.
The map is also really large. Like, it is, this thing is huge. I've been playing for like 45 hours, and I would say like I'm only at maybe 50% uncovered of the map.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really big map.
Is this the type of game where you skipped out on a lot of side quests to be able to get through?
Oh, yeah.
You think there's a lot of side quests that would have uncovered those for you?
I don't know. I guess, I mean, there are side quests that I've skipped, but I don't know that it could have uncovered all of that map. And that was like, that was one of my key complaints with the story in itself, is that it was taking you to the same location. And you've got this giant map, and yet I went to the same location like three times, right? So I don't know. I guess hopefully that makes sense, in that there is a lot of interesting topography and things to find if you just go and explore the map. But it is large, and a lot of the like point to point, like where you go and do missions at, are repetitive and samey. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hopefully that kind of ties it in.
I don't know if you, I mean, again, I've you know, a PC gamer for a lot longer, but I would say way back to like, I'm going in my memory to like 2003-ish. There was a game called City of Heroes. It was an MMO that was basically like a superhero MMO. Okay. And I really liked the game, but the deal was, is you were in a city and there was a map that was open, but basically for every like dungeon or mission, you would go into a building and it would be like a cave or a building, and you would go and you'd click on the door, and then it was like the exact, every, no matter where it was on the map, and no matter what the entrance looked like the world was open, the moment you clicked on it, it was the exact same layout with just slightly different bot. It was the exact same, like, okay, it's this hallway, take a left. I mean, the exact same every single time. And I think that killed it for a ton of people. And so I get that. That's what is like the, like, that's what's coming to mind, is City of Heroes.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it is quite that literal, but it's not that far. It's not that far off of that.
Sure.
it really isn't.
Same buildings, anyway.
You know, it's like, it is cool to just get a helicopter and be like, I'm going to go fly to this point and see what I find there. And you always find new and interesting things in terms of a topography perspective. But when it's like, hey, I'm going to go do this mission, it is same as hell every time you go and do a mission, so to speak. So that's my sort of upfront, like, things I like about the game. Things I didn't like about the game, the story. The story is bland and not well delivered. The acting, the line delivery is really poor. The writing, I think, is really poor. I don't really get it in the end, like, what the hell is really going on, other than at face value, some colonel in some U.S. Special Forces goes rogue and takes over the island because he wants to create his, like, paradise or whatever, and you kill him at the end. And, oh, by the way, he was kind of your friend in the Special Forces.
It's no Tom Clancy game, is what you're saying.
There is, like, no... I think they try to put some deeper layers to it.
Because it's Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, right?
It is, I mean, but I think Tom Clancy...
Tom Clancy is, he's a writer, and it's books and story.
I think Tom Clancy would not be happy with the state of the writing in this game, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't think the story's very good at all. It's not fulfilling. It's not interesting. I think at most times the writing is just really poor. So in that regard, I think that the game definitely falls really short of where you'd kind of hope something like this could be, because you go on, I mean, the story missions are long. Like, it takes you a while to get through everything. There's plenty of cutscenes, there's plenty of dialogue, there's plenty of things being told to you, but none of it is very interesting, I think. And so that really does hurt it for me. And then I guess, you know, my only other complaint, and maybe this is my own fault, but there's a lot of unlocking of things. You get a lot of different skill points. And essentially, I fell on a handful of things that I thought were really good. And that was it. That's all. I mean, like, I basically played with the same two guns the entire game.
Yeah.
They work for me, and I don't really have a whole lot of reason to change it. Yeah. I've used the same skill settings, the same like skills and things like that to approach each combat encounter.
Yeah. I'm curious on the like looter version of the game, how much that would have changed. Like, let's say you get a gun that has a perk that, you know, like is amazing for this other skill type or whatever. I'm just curious if that would have not made a difference.
That's a very fair point for sure. And I don't know. I didn't,
especially since that's technically how the game was originally designed, and they retroactively went to yours. So I'm just curious if that.
Right. I certainly think that could have helped the guns side of it, but the like skills and perks and things like that side of it are all still there. And it was all still like, I see why this is cool, but you only let me pick three, and these other three are just so much better than everything else.
Yeah.
So there's really no point in trading it out.
Sure.
So anyway, all of that put together, I would probably give this game, I would put it on the lower end of a three tryhards. It's okay. It's better than mediocre. I do think that you can have fun with this game, especially if you're looking for something to play with somebody else.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't run out. I wouldn't make time for it necessarily.
If it falls on sale.
Yeah. If you get it for $8 or something like that, and you got a few hours to kill, you want to go try it out. You know, that's kind of where I would put this game at.
All right.
But again, like I said, if you're one of those people that really just looks for different co-op games to play with people, and you're in between stuff and you don't have anything else, I think it's a really good co-op game. I think it really is. It's fun to play with people for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think I've said plenty and enough about Ghost Recon. I'm also playing a bunch of FIFA right now, FIFA 22, back into Ultimate Team there. I kind of mentioned that on last week's episode. Not really anything new to report there. It is what it is. How's your team doing? There's a squad battle, like my team in real life or
how's your team in the game? How's your Ultimate Team?
Oh, I'm getting there. I mean, I've only been in it a few weeks. Obviously, the game came out a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. How much money have you dropped on packs?
I actually only spent $5 on one pack.
Okay.
But they got me because they put like this special token in that pack, and I needed to collect enough of the tokens to get a special card. And so I bought a pack so that I could get the token out of it.
Yeah.
But that's the only way they got me. Otherwise, I'll just grind. It's not like, thankfully, like basic cards are cheap enough now that like you can have a decent team with just basic cards.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they're just all pretty cheap at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I already have pretty much a team of all special cards now. I've got all the cards I kind of want now. So now it's kind of like playing the game and seeing what might come later on down the road that might be really good to make my team better.
Right, right.
Because I'm basically at the point of I need mid-tier cards because all of the like really good cards are still really, really expensive. So I use this website called Footbin, and I kind of compare stats and positions.
Yep.
I pointed you to Footbin before.
Yep.
But basically, I know the tactics I like to play and the formation that I play. And so I know that I need key stats on my players in each position. And so I've got to the point, like the other day I did a search where I had all these key stats and I said, okay, these are the key stats that I need in these two positions, my two central midfielders. All right, for Premier League, put them all in, do a search. I got five players. All right. One of them was an attacking midfielder, which I needed more defensive players, so immediately struck him out. And then of the other four, one was Conte, who was going for like 300,000 coins. One was Fred, some special Fred card, which was going for like 300,000 coins. And then the other two were the two cards I already had.
Yeah.
So it's so like, okay, I've already got the best cards in my tier at this point, basically.
Right.
So now I can just kind of focus on some of the objectives. And I did that in only a few weeks of playing the game. I mean, I played hardcore for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But there's only a couple of weeks of playing the game. So you can definitely catch up quick for sure. But if you want those like big cards, if you want Ronaldo or something like that, you're going to pay a lot.
Yep.
So
I've never, you know, never chased the Ronaldo cards. I build really, really good teams, but you know, I've never had a Ronaldo ever.
Yeah.
In all my, yeah. You know, or whatever. You know what I mean?
I've gotten, because like when Messi, you get right,
I have like, you know, the really good, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a, you know, Marco Royce or something, you know what I mean? Like that, right. Back when he was like legit, right? Like I'll have that really good 97 rated player, you know, that's on a, like a, you know, player of the week or, you know, something like that. Like I'll have that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, no. And that's kind of like where I'm at in my team. Like those are the kind of players that I have in my team at this point. And so Now that said, like last year in Foot 21, I actually had a Johan Cruyff card by the end, which is like a 1.7, 1.8 million coin card.
Yeah.
So you can get there. It's just you kind of – you're not going to get them in every position. You're going to kind of have to go for that one card that you really want. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at on FIFA. And then the other thing I've been playing is a lot of Halo Infinite. I want to kind of save my thoughts – until I finish it. I'm 100% certain that I'll finish it by next week's episode. So I kind of want to save my thoughts till then. That said, the hooks are kind of in me on the story now. I hope they land it because I'm interested and invested in what's happening here. I think it's actually kind of interesting. I see how some of the criticism was leveled at it. And so far, like in the game, I see where it comes from. But I think the story is interesting. And I'll talk more on that when I actually finish the game because I want to see how it ends. Because if it ends really dumb, then I'm going to be like, well, never mind. I see why everybody fell the way they fell.
Yeah.
But so far, I'm intrigued, and I actually think it's an interesting story. I think it's a personal story for the Chief, although some of it's a little bit like kind of cheesy as to why it's personal, but I think I get it. Like I said, I'll get into it next week. The game's still so much fun to play. So much fun to play. I don't know what else to say other than it's like up there in S tier for fun to play shooters. It's just great. It's so great. And I had a great time. Like I never got, I'm to the point now, like I said, I'm pretty confident. I'm 100% confident I'll finish the game by next week because I'm to the point where now I know that I'm just in some final missions because I've cleared out the map. I've done everything in the open world now. I've got every checkpoint, every collectible, everything you can get. And I never got tired of running around the world, collecting all the stuff and fighting the enemies and playing the game. Never got tired of it.
Yeah, it's good.
So, you know, it's also not like Ubisoft big. So that's also helpful. I wish all open world games were about this size. Maybe a little bit bigger, but not much bigger. I wish they were all kind of like this size because it's a great package. You kind of can do everything and you can always have fun doing it as opposed to getting to that point where now it's not fun anymore, but you've like, I've come this far, so I got to finish it.
Right.
So, I think it did a good job in that regard for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Since I'm gonna kind of save like my final thoughts for Halo Infinite, that's kind of all I'm gonna say for this week. So I'll flip it to you.
Well, I mean, I have giant list of games here, and you know, pre-show when Phil saw it, he was like, "Holy shit!" But they really just creates the story of what, you know, I've done here. So, you know, and you can see a lot of this on my stream too. Like, you know, I've tried out a game for a night or something. And so, what happened was, I became a sucker, with the Steam sale that happened and bought a bunch of the Steam sale games. And I've been playing a bunch of those. But one, I will tell you, I feel stupid because I was like, Elder Scrolls Online is $5. Holy shit. Like, what a deal. And I went and bought it. It's on fucking Game Pass. Oops, and I could have played it this entire damn time.
Bethesda game.
I'm just stupid. Yeah, I just wasn't paying attention because it was just like it was there. And so I have another buddy who like has just been begging me to play Elder Scrolls Online for so long. Like he bought it way back when it came out and he bought like the ultimate edition for like $100 and all this kind of stuff. And he like loves it and he wants me to play and I just never would do it. And so I finally was like, all right, $5. I'm in. And so we went to play it And the entire time I'm playing it, I'm like, it's an MMO, right? And the problem is it's an MMO that was, it came out in what, 2014 or something like that? And
yeah,
it is not refined at all. It literally feels like I'm playing EverQuest 2. Like, it's just, there's nothing intuitive about it at all. It's painful. It's very clunky. It's hard to just do basic questing because you have no idea what you're doing or where you're going, and it doesn't help you at all. The map is terrible. So it's one of those games that's just like a lot of traditional MMOs in that you can have all these add-ons, right? You can throw all these add-ons into it. And so I'm grabbing all these add-ons and doing all stuff, and even with add-ons, it is just brutal. It takes forever, you know, to add all the add-ons, to get everything set up. It's still not fine-tuned. And the entire time I'm playing it, the entire time, I can just feel my buddies getting frustrated with me because I'm like, well, WoW does this. Well, WoW does that. Well, WoW is better with this. And this is easier on WoW. And well, WoW got this shit figured out. And WoW does this. And WoW does. And they're just like, oh my God, we get it. WoW is supposedly better than this game. And so I'm like, all right, I'll try it one more night, guys. I don't know if I can do it. I didn't even make it that next night. I could not bring my... Well, actually, here's what happened. Yeah. Is the next night, they had something come up and they didn't play. And so I was like, screw it. I'll just get on and play a little bit myself. I got on and for like 30 minutes, I'm by myself. Now I don't have them with me. So I don't have the like social interaction. It's just me focused on the game. And I'm like, this is terrible. This is terrible. I couldn't do it. So I was out and I'm like, I won't come back. So... because of that, then I was like, all right, well, I want to find another game that I can play online with and play with these guys. And so I was like, this group of people, we played Red Dead Redemption 2 online when it came out, and it was beta when it first came out. And I was like, we got on it, and I've told you Red Dead is my favorite game, right? It's my top game. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, I know.
But I hate the online. Well, yeah, the online was beta. So I was like, all right, well, it's been out long enough at this point. It's not beta anymore. I'm going to go back and see if it's any good. It still sucks. There is nothing to do. There is nothing to do. It's so terrible. Why are people playing this online? Do you hate yourself? Are you a boring person? I don't understand. There's nothing to do online. It's terrible. So
that's funny.
Didn't make it but an hour in that game. Lo and behold, I freaking downloaded WoW. And now I've got them over to WoW. So I have downloaded WoW. I've set up all of my add-ons. So, you know, look, I will play WoW. You know, I'm not going to get into it like I used to, but it's just something to do. Long story short is I started Elder Scrolls Online and it cracked me into WoW. I mean, that's where we're at. So
that's you're like, Elder Scrolls Online sucks. WoW is so much better. Let's go play WoW.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. Like, it's like I reminisced. Like, I kept talking about WoW. WoW's this. WoW's that. WoW's amazing. I should go play WoW. And I ended up on WoW.
You know what would really suck is if they all get into it and they're like, dude, this is lame. What did you mean?
Yeah, this is good. Exactly right. So I've got them all into WoW. We'll see how long it lasts and what it goes. So, which I have a couple of views on my stream of people that I used to play WoW with, and they're like, oh my God, you're back into WoW? I'll get it too.
You're like, oh, so, no.
Yeah, I have
what have I done?
I have a guy named Coop who I played WoW with, and he and I'm not saying this, but he specifically is like, you taught me everything I know on WoW. You're like the best WoW player I've ever played with. Like, if you're coming back, I'm coming back. Like, I can't wait to play with you. I'm a decent WoW player. Like, I'm pretty good. So anyway, I'm kind of pumped a little bit to get back to it. We'll see how it goes for the Shadowlands expansion.
You got a lot of pressure on you now.
I got that pressure. I'm a good tank, bro. I'll straight up say it. I'm a good tank.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've ever played. Do you know what Secret Neighbor is?
No, I don't. Okay,
so Secret Neighbor is it's weird, dude, because it's like a pedophile kids game.
Yeah, I'm trying to like find it right now. I feel like I've seen the cover to this game.
It's on Game Pass. Okay.
Yeah,
it's weird. There's literally this creepy dude who's chasing down children. to capture them. And so it's a sequel to the game Hello Neighbor, right?
Okay.
And Hello Neighbor is a single player game that's like an AI where you are trying to basically, the whole thing is there's this like neighbor who's trying to capture you and like put you as like a prisoner in his garage or his basement. I mean, it's super weird, dude, and creepy. But it's a kid's game. And he's got all these traps and you're trying to find keys and open doors. And it's like a giant puzzle game, right?
Okay.
But the neighbor has an AI that like learns and is adaptive. So if you set up a trap for him, he knows to look out for those kinds of traps, or he predicts those kind of things better in the future. And, you know, he starts to recognize your patterns and he adapts and you have to like learn. So that's kind of the basis of the game. So Secret Neighbor is now basically the multiplayer version. And it's, have you ever played Dead by Daylight?
No, I have not.
Okay.
So I have heard of that one though.
Okay. It's a kid version, if you will. It's a kid pedophile version of Dead by Daylight. So essentially there's six people who join into a game together. It's online only. Six people who join into a game together, and one person is the neighbor. And it's random. So it's kind of like Among Us, right? Like one person is the impersonator. So one person is the neighbor and the other five people are kids. And so you're all trying to, there's like a time limit and you're all trying to find the keys and open doors and get down to the basement to find his secret. And the neighbor is trying to keep you out and is trying to capture you. And so that's the basis of the game. You just, you know, it's, you just do it over and over and over in these little 15-minute sessions, and one person is randomly selected. Well, my six-year-old watches a ton of videos of it, like from streamers and stuff on online, and so he wanted to play it. So I downloaded that on my computer, and he has it on the Xbox, and then we also have it on Switch. And the problem is the Switch, there's no cross-platform. There's cross-play between the PC and the Xbox. And that's about it. So I can play on my computer and he can play on my Xbox and we can play together. And so we've had pretty good fun with that. I will say that. Like he laughs a ton and, you know, like the neighbor like pops out and is chasing him and he'll like scream like, ah! And
that's great.
So, I mean, we had a pretty good time playing that. It's one of those that like it is. It's kind of a kid game, but because of the basis of it being a multiplayer and attack, like it's fun. Like literally I could see it's like that Among Us type of thing. Like I could see you, me, Mike, you know, like a group of people go in together. And as long as like we're all in chat together and it'd be like Among Us. Like if you have a full group of friends in Among Us on chat or a voice chat, it's really, really fun. With randoms, Among Us is terrible in my opinion.
Gotcha.
But like with a group of your friends, it's really fun. Secret Neighbor is the same way. Like if we had a full group of us, I think it would be a blast. It's a simple little basic game, but it's fun.
I've never actually tried Among Us, so I'm not.
Oh, well, sure. It's only fun if you have
like a full group. Again, I understand the concept of it. Yeah. I've seen it played, but yeah. I don't. I've never actually tried it.
Yeah.
So. All right.
And then lastly, just Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm right at the end of this game. And I will finish it. It's just like I'm at that point where I know it's coming to an end. And I can't tell if it's because I don't want it to end and I'm not finishing it, or if it's just the like, I think that I know what the story is. There, you know, I think I know it, and like we'll see in the end if I'm surprised, but I think I know what the story is to this point. And so it's like I don't know. It's not like I've got that longing of like I need to know what's gonna happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like right. So I just haven't drawn myself back to it. So I'm gonna try to finish that within the next, you know, week or two. In between all my other stuff. And then I'll be able to give a rating on it. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I don't think I remember being like surprised by the ending.
Yeah.
I just remember, and I also
will say this,
don't,
I've the story at the very, very beginning was kind of hard to follow. It's kind of like, what's happening? What's going on? But like pretty quickly into the story, you're like, okay, I see what's happening. And like, I pretty well predicted pretty quick, probably what you did too, like of where the story was going. I've not been surprised by anything.
Right.
And I like the story. I like the story. But at the beginning, I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I've stated firmly before and I'm on the show, but I'll just kind of bring it up again since you're playing it. The story, the present day story of what's happening in that game was not terribly interesting to me. Like, it was decent.
Yeah.
It was good enough to kind of keep me going along, but it wasn't like super great.
Yeah.
So whenever I say like the story of Horizon Zero Dawn was really interesting or that I really liked it, I'm not talking about like what you're doing in present day from moment to moment.
Yeah.
What I really liked was the backstory and how that unfolds.
Yeah.
And like right at the end, like within the last 10% of the game, there's a lot of stuff given to you about what happened in the past.
Yep. And that's where I'm at.
Building up. And why Aloy is important and where she comes from and how they handled the situation and how it looked in the last days for Earth and the things that they did to try to save civilization and how the machines came about and all of that kind of stuff. That is what I found really fascinating. I felt like most games will kind of give you the backstory real quick, like, oh, this is how we got here. Okay, now we're here, and we focus on this. Whereas, like, Horizon was as much about Aloy discovering what the fuck happened, how she got here, and why she's important and who she is, as much as, like, the stories about doing something in modern day
to
get from A to B, so to speak.
Yep.
The MacGuffin of like why you're actually going along.
Yep.
But it, and so like in that regard, I thought it was a really neat story because it kind of plays out all of the stuff in the past because Aloy, they just do a really good job of like Aloy does not know what's going on. She has no idea and she's figuring it out with you. And I feel like a lot of times games don't do a great job of that because it's sort of like, well, the character just knows this and here you get this information.
Yeah.
But that's why I like the story. So hopefully that all makes sense.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Horizon? Or all right. Well, now we're kind of moving out of what we're playing. We're getting to the topics of the show. And surprise, we don't really have any topics of the show because guess what? There's not really much going on right now. So instead of that, we decided let's talk about some cool movies and TV that we've been watching over the Christmas break. So at this point, we're opening the lid. We're not going to hold ourselves back on discussing anything. So if you haven't seen The Matrix Resurrections, that's what we're going to talk about first, or next, The Witcher Season 2, or after that, the first episode of Book of Boba Fett, then I guess turn it off and come back to it once you've watched that. But we're going to talk about those three things because that is one of the things that we've gotten to do this week is catch up on some of this cool nerd cinema and television that came out this week. So yeah, let's kick it off with The Matrix Resurrections and let's kind of talk about it.
Hate
Jason,
it.
You hate
it. I hated it.
You hated it?
I did. I caught myself, like, I sat down with my father-in-law and the two of us turned it on and I caught myself just like on my phone and being uninterested. I like stopped the movie probably, you know, halfway through, you know, did other things, came back, you know, a day and a half later, finished it. It just, I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Like, so I certainly was a little bit more engaged than you are. I was able to kind of watch it. I did stop a couple times to go get snacks or whatever. But I don't know if I like resoundingly hated it, but I don't know that I like this movie.
Yeah.
I don't really, I think mostly because like, was it just a love story? Is that really what it was in the end? Did they really reduce The Matrix to a love story.
Like, here's a big part of why I didn't like it. Okay, you've watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened?
Like, what? Like, in the movie?
Like, what I'm saying is, like, so we got a Matrix sequel, right?
Right.
Did it matter?
No.
Did anything happen, actually? Did anything change? Did it, like, what even happened? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they just turned it into a love story. It just was a love story.
Like, right? And then I'm like, okay, so they're clearly setting up, like, they did a baseline of a story, and they're clearly setting up to do, you know, just like they've done with a lot of these other things, like to have two more movies, you know, follow this. And then I've read multiple things that are like, they have no intention of doing any other, you know, episodes. And I'm like, or not episodes, any other,
you know, it's movies. Not a new trilogy. Like, it's not a new trilogy. Just a standalone.
Standalone. They're done. And I'm like, well, what did it do then? Like, that's just my biggest problem is there's just, we got nothing out of it. And the thing that was disappointing to me is like, one of the things that was disappointing to me is, you know, Neo is this, basically he's a god, right? Like, and they, right. Even if you go back to the original sequel, like there was even like hints of like his power transferring into the real world a little bit, right?
Right. And that's like, so gone. Is the real world just like another simulation?
Yeah, they kind of like left you in this like hanging point.
And never explained that part.
Never explained that. Never talked about it.
Does not come up again in this one.
No examples of it of any kind.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's like it didn't happen. And
right.
And then he's just like this weakling the entire freaking movie.
Yeah.
And you know, can't do anything. But suddenly Trinity, you know, is the one and like has all these powers. But at the end, like, it's like they're back to normal. Like, the end cutscene is them just like doing the like Superman fly off that was like the end of episode one. Yeah. Like, okay, so we're back to episode one. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, nothing happened. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. So there's two things that are touched on in this movie that could have been really interesting. The first is that clearly there's a new architect. And there's clearly a hierarchy or an ability to be promoted or elected to be the architect of the Matrix.
There's and a politics clearly, involved. Right.
Right. And clearly on that sentient side, they have developed a new Matrix and they're kind of, they talk about it in terms of like a production and quotas and how much they're harvesting and how they're so much better now. And it's like, that whole side of it could have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Understanding the sentient side more, understanding the characters going on that are over there, why they're doing what they're doing, who they are, you know, that kind of stuff, which they don't go into any more than that.
Right.
And the other thing is, now I've just totally had a brain collapse. There was a second thing that I had, and brain has just melted on me, and I don't know what it was.
Okay, if you grab it, I'll stop. But so here's my So let me just kind of give you what I think about it. So first off, let me say when it comes to the original Matrix, obviously Matrix 1 I think is universally considered the best of the three movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matrix 1 was great. What made Matrix 1 so good is it was state of the art. Like it broke, you know, like
right.
In it broke special the industry into a whole new world of special effects, and it had all of these things that were universally loved and used, you know, moving forward in movies, right? Like fully, and it had amazing action sequences, and it was this like extremely original and unique idea. And then in 2 and 3, like it's almost like they were like, okay, we were groundbreaking with our technology. And we don't have anything that's super groundbreaking like that anymore. So we still want to like have something that's really, really good. So they just like overcomplicated the story, in my opinion. Like they tried to just be like, we're so smart. We're writing this like amazing story. And they like the architect was so overly confusing, right? Like they tried so hard to like create this story that I think that they just wanted to showcase how intelligent they were that they overdid it. And a lot of people couldn't follow. To me, the best parts of the episode 2 and 3 were like when they had really good action scenes. So you have, like, for instance, to me, the highway chase scene where you've got the twins chasing them down and they're like phasing through cars and, you know, I mean, using their samurai swords. Yeah. Like it was a really good, even if I didn't like the movie as much, the plot as much, the action was really, really good.
Right.
This one didn't have like that action scene that was just really, really good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There just wasn't a really good act. There was points where it's like they're literally fighting and I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, it just didn't feel like a Matrix.
Yeah, there was nothing good about, there was nothing. All he just ran around doing his little force shield thing.
Yeah, like
that was basically it. And there was that fight with the Smith, but that wasn't really Smith, but it was a shit fight too.
Well, and I didn't feel like it had, like the other thing is I felt like the music was really good in the Matrix. And this just didn't have that same, you know, gravitato. Like, so even stuff like where Morpheus is, you know, running and the sprinkler system is going off and it's slow motion and it's just like, there's no words. And it's just like, you know, there's a good, you know, soundtrack going on and it's slow motion and you're seeing all the water and the bullets drop. And, you know, I mean, there was just nothing that was like imagery and sound that really grabbed you, like what Matrix is known for. And then that just, so if it didn't have any of that, and then nothing happened in the story, it's like, what happened here? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I guess I'll say, I got to try to stack this up. So, I remembered my second point, but I'll get to that in a second. But I'm completely with you in terms of there was no action. There was no real good action scenes in it. I would argue even that there was no action, period, really. Like, there just wasn't any good fight scenes or anything.
It was a 2 hour and 45 minute
movie? 2.5 hour movie. Yeah.
It's like,
But that said, I think that the story of the original trilogy is a really interesting thought discussion from the theology perspective, from the philosophy perspective. Mm-hmm. And people that are really into that metaverse
that universe,
subgenre, I think there's a lot of interesting thoughts and ideas in the original trilogy, in the story of the original trilogy. For those of us like you and me that kind of exist outside of that, it becomes complicated and not intuitive. That said, I don't want to disparage the story of the original trilogy because I think there is a lot of good stuff in there for people that are into that.
Yeah.
The story for this one is garbage. Like, there is nothing going on that's worthwhile. I'll kind of touch on that a little bit more in just a second in terms of the fact that it is kind of a retelling of the first one because he's back in the Matrix and they've got to go back and find him and they need to make him so they show a lot of scenes from the first movie and they have to have a Morpheus again and you wrote him as a they have all the fourth wall stuff where he wrote it as a video game and people played his video game and they're like, oh, this is scenes from your video game. And it's literally just scenes from the movie. It's like that, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, any gamer watching that is like, that's not a video. That's just, come on. Really? Yeah. Like we don't, so I don't know. It's just, it's like they thought this was going to be like a clever idea, but then they didn't actually put in the effort to execute it.
Right.
I don't know. I really, when you kind of stack it up and you kind of look at it like Star Wars, Force Awakens, they try to retell A New Hope, right? The new Ghostbusters movie that came out just at the end of last year, they try to retell the first Ghostbusters movie. This Matrix movie, they try to retell the first Matrix movie. Like, it seems like we've got a whole glut of these types of movies that were like really popular in like the late 80s. Or, well, Star Wars was the late 70s or Ghostbusters was the 80s or Matrix now in the early 2000s where it's like, those movies are really popular. We need to make a sequel and capitalize on it. All right, well, let's just retell that first movie. Oh, well, they didn't. None of them did a good job of it. And nobody actually wanted a retelling of that first movie.
Well, and it's not that it can't be done because look at Dune. Dune was great.
Yes, but Dune's not really a retelling of a movie. Dune is a new director's idea of how to interpret and tell the story of the book, right? It's not like, I see the look that you're giving me, but it's
it's not a sequel, I guess, whereas these are sequels, the other ones.
Right.
It's just a reboot.
Yeah, well, because it's like, it's to me, the Dune movie is much more like the Batman movies, right? Where you have a director and you have a Batman and they tell a story of Batman movies. Okay. And then like 5-10 years later, you have a new director and a new Batman and they tell a story of Batman movies, right? Okay. I get that the concepts of Dune and the story is kind of similar from each iteration of telling of that story, but it all comes back from this book and it's still a new director's interpretation of that and how to put it on screen. What I'm saying here is you've got literally, this is supposed to be a sequel to a movie that it's like, well, let's just retell the story of that first movie. And we're seeing it in games too, right? Because you were talking about Age of Empires 4 and how they do that. And Gears of War 4 does that. And there are other games where they it's like they're rebooting the franchise.
Just full on the capitalization of nostalgia.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're trying to go for. And for me, it's failing miserably because that's not why I still loved those series.
Yeah.
I want to see something new. And that kind of takes me to the second point, the second interesting point that I thought that they could have done with the Matrix Resurrections that I finally remembered. And that is everything that goes on in what is now Io, because they made a new city, Io.
Yeah, right.
And everything that goes on from the point that the third movie ends and where we are now in this fourth movie. I thought it was interesting that Niobe was the one that stayed around and she runs it, this new city and things that are happening and how they're now friends with some of the sentients and how some of the machines work with them. Right. Like all of that was really fucking interesting and they could have told a story there.
And they didn't touch on it.
And that would have actually pushed the Matrix forward and would have meant something. But no, they just kind of like, Neo shows up and she's just mad because now you're going to ruin my city. But actually, we don't actually see it affect their city at all. So it's like, what was even, I don't, like you said, what does this movie even do for the Matrix?
I'm scrolling because I'm trying to find, I saw something on my phone earlier today that like kind of feels relevant to what you're talking about. And essentially what it was is it was a picture of gosh, what is his name now? The guy who directed episode 7 and 9. Why can't I think of his name? Of Star Wars.
Yes. And now all I can think of is Rian Johnson.
That's all I can think of too is Rian Johnson. Not Rian Johnson.
The guy who did Cloverfield and the guy who did the Lost Star Trek movie.
I'm totally
drawing a blank also.
What's his name? Star Trek.
I'm going to kill time while I Google it.
I can't think of his name at all. I can see his face, glasses, you know, the like Buddy Holly, like square glasses. I can't think of his name.
J.J. Abrams.
Thank you, J.J. Abrams. It's a picture of J.J. Abrams and it has a quote from him saying like, it's difficult because you can't please and welcome in a new viewing audience and still honor the original trilogy. And then right below that shows a picture of now I can't think of anybody's name. Joe Filani and John Favreau with Filani and Favreau, and they're like directing the Mandalorian. It's like, they did it just fine.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% right. Like that is the stupidest quote. And I remember reading that too. Like that just shows a clear, like he doesn't.
And he did fantastic for Star Trek, by the way. And then just didn't get it done for Star Wars.
Yeah. I think he just didn't get it because And I think it goes back to, I think you actually made a really good point at the very start where you asked, like, what does the Matrix 4 do for the story? Yeah. How does it bring it forward? And it doesn't do anything. And that's the same problem with Force Awakens.
Yep. Yep.
It's the same problem with the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yep.
It's the same problem here. And you've got to ask yourself as a director, when you're going to go and make a new movie for something that sat dormant for a while, what are you bringing to the table? Because if you can think of something interesting to bring to the table, then you can bring in new fans, but you can also satiate the existing fans because they're seeing a continuation of a story rather than, you know, a retelling of something in, mm-hmm. in hopes that, oh, if I just retell it, but in like modern day graphics, mm-hmm. that people will be interested in it again.
Right.
No.
That's, right. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm ranting a little bit now, but
yeah,
I'm with you. I think
my problem is
at the end of this.
Now I'm like wanting to go into Star Wars stuff. You know what I mean? Like, but it's because like the other thing that I've seen with that is that basically Disney has been in damage control since Rian Johnson, you know, took over. So that's the one thing I'll say about J.J. Abrams, maybe in defense of him, is that who knows what his, you know, Episode One was the best of the three. I will say, in my opinion,
the Force Awakens was the best of the sequels.
So I say Episode One, Force Awakens. Sorry, Episode One of his trilogy. So Episode Seven.
Yeah,
I said that.
Yeah. I agree with you.
And of then the and sequel Johnson trilogy. Screwed up, and yes. he had to like try to make sense of it. So,
yeah.
You know, in fairness, you know, it was so screwed up from Rian Johnson doing it. And I saw something semi recently where it was showing videos of a conversation on set between Rian Johnson and Mark Hamill. You can literally see Mark Hamill's arguing with him like, this is fundamentally not right. And this doesn't make sense mm-hmm. to this character. I mean, this and that. And you could just see Mark Hamill's heart breaking. Like,
yeah.
And Rian Johnson's like, you don't own, this isn't your character. You're portraying our character. This is not your character. Rian Johnson yeah. just basically saying like, this is you're not, you have to do what we tell you, that you're Obi-Wan now. You're not, you know, Luke Skywalker anymore. So he was trying to tell him. And it was just like, right. pulling the hair out. And you just see yeah. Mark Hamill just dying. Like,
I mean, that's kind of an interesting, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but that's kind of an interesting concept. When you have something so iconic and it is a person that mm-hmm. was that character
right.
for the entirety of the life of that character on screen mm-hmm. and is that iconic, is at a certain point as a director, do you not have to stand back and go, wait a minute, Mark Hamill is Luke Skywalker,
right?
They are the same people.
Well, in
Mark
my opinion,
Hamill is Luke. Luke is Mark Hamill.
Right.
Luke is Mark's character, and if Hamill doesn't think that Luke would do this, or that it's out of character, or that it doesn't make sense, as a director, you should stand up and fucking listen, mm-hmm. because nobody knows Luke Skywalker better than Mark Hamill, except yeah. for maybe
George Lucas.
George Lucas.
Yeah. So, now,
and even then, I would say at a certain point. Sorry, I'll let you go in just a second. But at a certain point, I would say Mark Hamill assumes knowing Luke Skywalker better than George Lucas, even mm-hmm. because Mark Hamill just is, lives him. He brings him to life. He feels him. He is Luke.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that it makes me angry thinking of the fact that Rian Johnson straight up did tell Mark Hamill that. And yeah. did. I mean, because one of the biggest problems with Episode 8 is how fucked he makes Luke. But anyway, I digress. I'll flip it back to you.
So I think that we're chasing a rabbit here, but it's nerd stuff and we get to talk about it. But it's like, in my opinion, the biggest reason why the Han Solo movie flopped was because people didn't accept that, because Han Solo is Harrison Ford. Like, Harrison Ford is Han Solo. It just wasn't Han Solo. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't feel right, yeah. right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
When you go back and watch the movie, it's not really terrible. It just flopped. Yeah. Like, it's not Han Solo. You're not watching Han Solo. You're just watching another movie. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't Han, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. I think that they could have done, if they had kind of done the, with the Han Solo movie, if they had done the period where Han breaks and becomes who he becomes, uh-huh. that could have been interesting. But as it is, you have to kind of point. You kind of have to step back and say, okay, we're just seeing a young Han
yeah.
before the galaxy kind of breaks him
mm-hmm.
and he becomes who he is in episode four.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult thing that you're asking the fan and the audience to do when you don't show him as this happy person. Then you show what happens to him and how he becomes this kind of crusty old man.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess he's not an old man in episode four, but he becomes the, you know, he becomes yeah, yeah. the kind of his character is just basically very like, I don't trust in the galaxy. It's gonna break me. It's right. gonna do something bad to me.
Right.
It's gonna leave me by the curb. You know, things aren't gonna work out.
Right.
There's no reason for optimism.
Yeah, he's That's a good sort guy of his char- with a that who's untrusting of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
He thinks it's gonna let him down.
Right.
He thinks it's gonna let him down, so why even try? But right. the Han Solo movie, the sort of spin-off movie, he's just like this happy-go-lucky, like
everything's
shit's
cool
gonna be
good.
Great. It's all gonna work out. And it's total polar opposite of Han Solo's character.
Yep.
But anyway, coming back to Matrix. Well, before we go to The Witcher, but coming back to The Matrix, I think that just really in general, your point about it doesn't do anything to bring the story forward. So therefore, why did we even have it?
Yep.
Especially when it's not even a good action movie.
Yep.
I completely agree with you. So that's, I think, where we fall
that's
on
our
that.
Review.
So,
right.
That's our review. There you go. There you have it. All right. Witcher season 2. So I know that you haven't fully finished it. So yeah, I'm episode 8.
Maybe 10 or 20 minutes into the last episode. Okay. Just kind of where I'm at. Like, obviously, it's one of those shows you can't watch with kids around.
Right.
So I watch it in the evenings and, you know, then end up gaming. So,
right.
That's where I'm at. So I'm, it's been really good. I feel like, no drop off from season 1. I feel like it's just as good as season 1. You know, the one complaint that I think season 1 had was the whole confusing, time periods where it was doing the, you know, back and forth in time. And they removed that. In fact, at one point the bard sings a song making fun of the time, kind of almost a fourth wall, making fun of the time, you know, gaff that they had. It's been really good to this point. That's kind of, I don't know. I'll let you kind of go into depth on some stuff if you want, but I think it's been really good. The characters are all good. So far the story has been great. I've not struggled to follow anything. You know, I played a lot of The Witcher 3 and a lot of, obviously they're both based on the books, and a lot of the stuff from The Witcher 3 follows the, you know, the Wild Hunt. And so a lot of the stuff from The Witcher 3 game is in these, you know, episodes and shows. And so,
right.
I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. 100%. I'm with you. I really, really like this. I really like, Henry Cavill as Geralt. I think he does a great Geralt.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this show, the season 2, is starting to transition towards the central character is Ciri now. I know it's called The Witcher, but the story really does center around Ciri and who she is and what she means to the world of where they're at in The Witcher. I don't know what the, like, Middle Earth, you know, whatever the whole name for the whole world is there. Obviously, you've got Nilfgaard and, you know, Skellig and, you know, Bredonia and all the other areas, but I don't know what the, like,
the
whole name
is called. Yeah, I don't know.
No, they call it the continent. That's what they call it, the continent. Yeah, that's what they call it all the throughout the show. So what she means to the continent. And I love how they're kind of focusing more on her and her growing up. It's kind of a maturing story for her. But also you get the story of Geralt struggling with the idea of, like, I can't just control this kid.
Right.
And I think that's a
wanting
really
to be a
interesting
protector and also wanting to let her, you know, grow up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And how he's grappling with that and how sometimes he makes progress and then he steps back and then he makes a little bit of progress, but then he falls back again. And he's kind of really struggling with that. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy the fact that, I'm trying to think. I'm catching myself because I don't want to give anything away now.
So I'm liking the relationship between the bard, between Geralt and I'm just terrible with names tonight. What's her name? The purple-eyed wizard girl. Yenna. Yeah.
Yennefer.
So I'm enjoying the relationship of each of them individually. Like, there's this, like, triangle, like they each have different feelings for each one of each other, and they change multiple times in the show. And they have good interactions. So the actor, you know, the way that the bard is portrayed is fantastic. Like, he was really good in the first season. He's really good in this one. Yeah. I really enjoy
all the scenes. I wish they did more with him.
Yeah, exactly. The scenes he's in, I really enjoy. He does a good job.
I agree completely. I wish they did more with him. That'd be my one sort of regret. But yeah, I really enjoy the dynamic of the relationship between Yennefer and Geralt. Mm-hmm. And that... I'm trying to think of what I say without giving anything up, but just that whole thing happening there. It's hard to go to a spoil discussion when you have not watched the last 40 minutes.
It's my fault. It's my fault.
So much comes together in the last 40 minutes of that episode. Yeah. So I definitely really appreciate that. I mean, she fucked up in that.
Yeah. And she knows
episode seven.
You know, in episode seven, she realizes it. She like felt it like, oh crap, this person is important. And
she betrayed Geralt. That's great.
Gonna suffer consequences for it, right? And she knows that, and she's willing to accept it, I think.
I agree, and so I really enjoy that dynamic of it. I enjoy the mini stories within some of the episodes. So for example, when they go to that house and it's kind of like a beast story, right? So like a Beauty and the Beast, but mm-hmm. it's just the Beast, and the Beauty is like some really fucked up monster. I really enjoyed that episode. I thought that was really interesting.
I would say that's one of my favorite episodes too,
and I think it does a great job of helping to explain Geralt's character. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be careful in these kinds of shows because you want people to like Geralt and you want good things to happen, but also Geralt is Geralt. He kind of really only exists for himself. And I think he's slowly figuring out how to be a father and how to not just exist for himself. But you have to remember, you have to kind of keep pulling him back to that, like, he's not some like big softy, like emotional person. Like if you fuck up, he will just straight up like, yeah, you're toast to me, dude. Like, and I think that episode was really important in making sure that the audience remember that Geralt has this sort of soft spot for Ciri.
Yeah.
But it's not like his whole demeanor and character is soft to everyone.
Right, right.
How he rejects Triss is another great example of that. Like, I get you're hurting, but I don't want to fuck you. I'm sorry. Right. Like that's basically what happens in that episode. Yeah,
I still care for her, even if she's not here, because at the time he thought Yennefer was dead. Like, even if she's gone, that's who I still, my heart is still there. I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not there.
So I don't know. I think I love what Netflix are doing with The Witcher.
Yeah. It's good
season. I think it's superb. I wish there was more. And I keep want to watch it.
I really like Henry Cavill. I'm one of the ones, I mean, I know there's people who don't, but I really like his Superman. I'm a big Cavill fan. I think he's good in a lot of stuff, which by the way, I'm super happy about. He is publicly this week been, I guess, asking, he's been publicly speaking out that the next character that he would like to portray is Red Dead Redemption. He wants to turn that into a movie.
That's
great. He wants to, and I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
Didn't he also say he wanted to be Shepard in a Mass Effect show if Amazon ever did it?
I don't know about that one. I'm not sure. Yeah. But he's an avid gamer. He's a big gamer. So he's like, I played these games. Sure. I fall in love with the stories and I want to portray them, you know? So
that's right.
Because look, there's a lot of really good stories, a lot of good, you know, plots and stuff in these games. And they're just now finally getting to the point where they can, you know, and I know this is also based on a book, or not also, but originally. But there's, I think the day for the most part of converting games to movies and it just being a horrible movie is over, outside of just, you know, look, you can take Star Wars and screw it up with a bad director, right? Like, but it's not like it can't be done anymore. At one time, it was just like, you just couldn't do it. Like, I mean, it was like, great, we have a Doom movie. It's garbage. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No, you can absolutely make good movies or TV based on video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can absolutely do it. And real quick, I just want to say, like, in contrast to The Matrix, there's some badass action in The Witcher season 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I really enjoy some of the action scenes, some of the fight scenes.
Final thing I will say is, so I did not watch the books, right, or read the books, right? I've only played the game. That's where my content comes from. And I will say this, I was absolutely heartbroken and bummed that Roach dies. Like, I'm like, what?
No, yeah,
because he has such a strong relationship with Roach, dude, his horse. I did not know it was coming. So I don't know if it's in the books, if that's part of story that Roach dies, or if they just took liberties. And I'm like, why would you kill off his horse?
Yeah, it's so sad, man. You almost want to cry.
Yes,
I read a really interesting quote that the person who directed season 2 actually wanted to add in a little bit of comedy in that moment. And Henry Cavill was like, no, it will be heartfelt. Geralt will be sad.
Okay.
People need to cry at this.
So,
and they had like an argument and Cavill won. And that's how the scene comes. But originally the director wanted to add some comedy in that moment.
So I just looked it up and I'll tell you that in the books, every horse that he has ever owned has been named Roach. And it is a personal reference and preference to him. So it is not necessarily a specific horse.
Right.
In the books. So
in the books.
There we go. So he does have horses that die and he turns and names them Roach in the books. But in my experience, that wasn't the case. So I was just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
His horse died.
Yeah. But see, it's still, he's still got a connection to his horse. He's still.
Oh, for sure he does.
Got an emotional bond to his horse, especially in the show. So, yeah, it's great. All right, we still got one more. So let's get on to Book of Boba Fett.
Just one episode.
Kind of flip it back to Star Wars now. And good shit, good Star Wars.
Awesome.
So we've got just one episode of Boba Fett to talk about.
It's so good.
So yeah, what did you think of it?
I loved it. All parts of it to me were really good. I didn't have any. I love the. Just like how we talked about how in The Matrix, you know, they did callbacks to previous episodes and just showed footage. Well, they basically did the same thing here with, like, you know, him being a child and holding the helmet, you know, when his father was, you know, beheaded.
Right.
You know, and it's like, but they did it well. Like, it was good, you know.
Right.
I don't know. It, like, I just really enjoyed it. I loved, you know, how it opened and like immediately shows his escape, you know, from, and why can't I think of the creature's
from
name?
The Sarlacc pit.
Sarlacc. Thank you. And I thought that was fantastic. I love that. You can tell that this story, they're going to go into basically what I like about it is right off the bat, one of the things that you and me have talked about is how this character doesn't feel like Boba Fett. Boba Fett was a bad guy, right? Absolutely was a bad guy. And then it's like when we see him, well, he's not really that much of a bad guy. And he seems to be doing, you know, things that are, you know,
he's kind of noble.
Yeah, he's a noble guy and he kind of works on an honor code. And it looks like they're going to explain that. Like he basically was just surviving and the Sand People are basically going to almost rehabilitate him. Right. And he's going to learn to go by their honor code and it's going to change him. That's what it looks to like to this point. So I'm happy that it feels like we're going to get an answer to that. And there's actually going to be an explanation to why his character feels different.
It just better be a good explanation. That's
so
all
far,
I'm saying.
It feels good.
Yeah. So I will say that obviously they're trying to canonize how Boba Fett survives from the Sarlacc pit, right? Because before Disney bought Star Wars, there is a book where we find out that Boba Fett does survive getting thrown into the Sarlacc pit. Mm-hmm. And so how he gets out and who rescues him and all of that is not what happens in episode 1 of Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
So they are clearly canonizing how he survived, that he survived, and how he survived, and they're telling a new story there. So I just want to say up front, like, if you're a Star Wars nerd like me, you are getting a different story to what you knew growing up about Boba Fett. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I just want to state it up front so that people are aware of it. He's picked up by Dengar. who is one of the other bounty hunters that you see in episode 5. And they join forces for a little while, and they also betray each other and some different stuff. And yeah, there's no like Boba Fett becomes noble and is raised by sand people or some shit, right? Like, it's just totally different. But they did keep some of the stuff, like he is severely scarred and pitted and burned by the acid inside the Sarlacc. And there's a lot of recovery associated with that.
Yeah, he's using one of the healing tanks that, like, you see, you know, Luke and other people in multiple times in the series. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, that I just want to state up front that is happening. And so, you know, you kind of got to look at it. If you're like me, like I said, and you're a super Star Wars nerd and you read a bunch of the old literature that is now not canon anymore, you've got to break, you know, we're used to this now, right? Like, Han and Leia get married and they have kids. They're not Kylo Ren. You know, they have two. They have a son and a daughter, not just a son who's Kylo, like, you know, and all of that got thrown away by Disney. So we're used to this now.
Well, but, I mean, I would say the only outside books like that I really got into that I loved and that, you know, have now been, you know, deemed as not canon that I was bummed about is the, oh man, I'm just terrible with names tonight. The Blue Commander.
Thrawn,
thank you.
They didn't Thrawn. Draw all that out.
The Thrawn trilogy books are no longer canon. They are not canon. Okay, so
the old Thrawn trilogy.
No, I'm talking about like the three new ones, semi-new, are not canon.
Okay, I don't want to debate it on the show because I'm not sure, but we're going to have to look this up and we're going to have to come back to this at the start of the next episode because I didn't
Thrawn in like the Clone Wars is canon, you know, the cartoons, and in Rebels, stuff like that, he's canon. But the Thrawn from the books that I read but that are by like Zane or Zahn or whoever his name is.
Zahn.
Are not canon.
Timothy Zahn.
Yep, Timothy Zahn. I love those books, by the way. They're fantastic. I love the story, but those are no longer canon. Timothy Zahn.
So that's what I'm saying. I get it. So Timothy Zahn wrote.
They're not anymore.
The original trilogy of Thrawn books. Correct. Heir of the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. Those came out in the early 90s. Those were the original Thrawn trilogy.
And then he came out with new ones.
There is a new Thrawn trilogy that is also written by Zahn that are canon. And they are also really good books, by the way.
Okay, so I just had it reversed. The old ones are not canon. The new ones are. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the new ones are canon. I gotta find where. Oh my goodness, I'm trying to Google fast. So yes, the original Thrawn trilogy, Heir of the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command, were deemed legends, so they're now no longer canon. But there is a new trilogy of Thrawn books.
The new trilogy is the ones that are canon.
Yeah. So there's
and by the
Thrawn,
way, by looking into just, it right now, I can tell you. The new ones are actually the ones that I know and love, not the old ones.
Okay. Okay, good. Because these are really good. So there's Thrawn.
Good, because I love them.
There's Alliances and then Treason. Mm-hmm. And those are all canon. Are
fantastic.
Yeah. Good. And there's actually a new trilogy even that Zahn has written that's Chaos Rising, Ascendancy, and something else. I've only read the first of the new trilogy. That new trilogy is like an origin story for Thrawn. So before he comes over and is an admiral in the Imperial Navy. The Thrawn is a fantastic character. I'm glad we got that straightened out. It is sort of confusing because Zahn has written all of them. but as far as I know, there are three separate trilogies of Thrawn books. The original trilogy that was written in the early 90s are now legends, but the new trilogy that was written in the, they were like 2016,
2017, I think is the first one.
Yeah, somewhere in there. That trilogy, also written by Zahn, is canon. And then of course there's this new trilogy that, like, I think the third book only just released a couple months ago.
Okay.
and all of that is canon. And of course, Thrawn in the Clone Wars is canon.
And we're going to get, the rumor is that Thrawn will be in the, or not rumor, they straight up talk about, she says the name Thrawn in Mandalorian.
Right, yeah, you're talking about Ahsoka.
Where's Thrawn, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see him coming back in the Ahsoka series.
In the Ahsoka series, yes. I think he'll be in the Ahsoka series.
And I would love that. I want to see him on the big screen, or the silver screen, I guess. It's not the big, big screen. But yes, I agree. I want to see him back. Again, another character. Ahsoka, Thrawn, these are characters you could have made a sequel trilogy of about.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. And it would have continued the story. It would have been great. Mm-hmm. We could have had a really awesome sequel trilogy. You just needed to give it to Favreau and Filoni, and we would have had great movies.
It's almost like if they could just uncanon the three, because you have stuff like The Last Jedi. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
There are Why other did you Jedis. Even call it that? Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, they call it the last, and yet, like, one of the scenes I really liked in the sequel trilogy that actually gave me a little bit of hope was the end scene of The Last Jedi, where you've got this little kid who force pulls a broom to him.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, oh, we're going to open this up. And then no, they didn't do anything with that.
Well, the whole time they were building up to be like, and I've read multiple things that the whole thing was people were misinterpreting that. Dude, I'm just terrible with names. Not Poe. The black guy. Well, I can't think of his name.
Boyega plays him. Finn.
Yeah, Finn. Thank you. So Finn basically was force sensitive, right? Which is why he was able to, you know, handle himself against Kylo Ren. I mean, he lost, but I mean, he held his own for a good while in a sword fight against Kylo, right? Like, and the whole time he's like trying to talk to her. I have something to tell you. And a lot of people misinterpreted that with like, he was in love with her and he just viewed her as a friend. And also then was feeling the force and stuff within him and was needing to talk to her and discuss about it. And they never really touched on that again. That was another failure that they never talked about or explained, is that he was force sensitive, you know? And so I've seen a lot of stuff on that.
So anyway, so not to go down a sequel trilogy rabbit hole. Let's kind of, focus on Boba Fett episode one. All of the stuff I was saying about canon and all that, it's important to remember. My thoughts on the episode itself, I did enjoy it. I am more interested in the modern day stuff, like how he's taking over the Hutt criminal enterprise, than his backstory. Just because in this instance, I feel like it could just be simple enough to just be like, hey, yeah, he survived. Like, although if, like you said, we've got to understand why he's somehow noble now, I guess you do have to spend some more time on it. But that was one of the parts that, like, you kind of have this back and forth going on through the first half of the episode, and then he sends Fennec Shand to go get that assassin person and to bring him back alive, and she gets him. He goes in his tank, and then the whole rest of the episode is just him with the sand people and his memories again.
Yeah.
And they never actually go back to the modern day story, which was a little bit weird because it was kind of back and forth for a little while, and then it was just like, no, we're just doing this for the rest of the episode.
Right.
And I did think that was a little bit strange. I am more interested in what's happening in the modern day stuff.
I feel like they're going to be a good cop, bad cop. Like, she's the enforcer and he's the noble. Like, and so I feel, we'll see, but I feel like as this series goes on, it may be more like she is the one who instills the fear and he stays noble and maybe has to correct her a few times, or I don't know. We'll see how much, but it feels like they could do a good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah. Well, she's got some kind of blood bond to him, which you find in the Mandalorian, right? Because like she is like dead essentially by the Mandalorian, and Boba Fett goes and finds her and like repairs her and like makes her kind of half robot, all of that kind of stuff. So interesting stuff. That so it's cool how they're tying the two shows together and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, I'm more interested in what's happening in the modern day stuff and like how he's taken over the Hutt Empire and what's happening on Tatooine. I do want to make sure that it is a good reason why he's suddenly noble now. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to spend you know, full episodes with the Sand People. I don't know. I've just never found the Tuskens all that interesting, but maybe they're going to make them interesting with this.
So I was watching just a YouTube clip on it, like things you missed or stuff like that, you know? And one of the things they were talking about, you know, that little symbol that's being drawn on the moisture farm.
Yes.
They're trying to like say like, who is that and who do they think it is? And they don't know, but they're like guessing. And some people are thinking it could be remnants of basically the underworld group that was formed by Darth Maul. Darth Maul at this point is dead. He's been killed off at this point.
Yes.
Officially, you know, like.
Yes. Like he's actually dead now.
Actually dead. Yeah. He's had his comeback and then died, you know, from Obi-Wan.
Yes. Yes.
And but it could be remnants of his group or whatever. That's a thought, whether that plays out or not, but that's what some people are saying. So it's interesting to see who that's going to be, because it feels like they're playing up a big bad that's he's going to come against, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So timeline wise, right? Obi-Wan, not in his crippled old age, kills Darth Maul. So sometime before episode 4, mm-hmm. Obi-Wan kills Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And obviously, Boba Fett is thrown into the Sarlacc pit in episode 6.
Right.
And in this series, he's escaped the Sarlacc pit, and some time has passed too.
Right.
So obviously this has to be happening kind of right before episode 7, I guess, somewhere in between episode 6 and 7, or maybe sometime.
Because Mandalorian takes place 5 years after episode 6.
Right. And when does episode 7 take place in relation to episode 6?
20-ish years.
Yeah, so it is in between.
It's in between
6 and 7.
But what I'm saying is, let's say it's 5 years is when Mandalorian starts, and I don't know, let's call it, you know, a few months or whatever until he meets Boba Fett. So it's essentially somewhere in 5 to 6 years. The story we're watching with Boba Fett is somewhere in the 5 to 6 year-ish range of the ending of episode six. Correct.
Yeah. So,
which is why when he gets paid credits by the establishment, you know, the like bar owner establishment. If you look into those, into that helmet, it's been 6 years. The credits all have the, they're not Imperial credits anymore. They all have the Galactic logo on them.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I don't think there's too much more we can draw. I wish that I had watched some YouTube videos about the things you missed, though. Yeah. And we could have talked about some more of that. The only other point I kind of want to make, and this is going to sound bad, but whatever. I'm going to say it. I'm not normally like this, but I think Ming-Na Wen is holy shit attractive. And when you look at the fact that she is 58 years old, it blows my fucking mind. Just straight up.
She showed up to some parkour in that episode too.
She does some crazy parkour.
Yeah.
She
definitely comes off as a because in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. she does a good job portraying a badass. Like, and every time I've ever seen her, she's a badass.
Right.
Like, that's what she plays well.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's just her character. But I'm just stating the fact that she's 58 and she is aged really well.
Again, I'm terrible with names tonight, so everyone's just gonna have to get over it. I can't think of her name right this second, but the actress that they have playing Ahsoka, holy shit!
Yeah, what's her? Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm all in on that. At this point, she's the hottest Star Wars girl for me. Rosario Dawson is legit.
Yeah, she's 42, so she's not like she's not in the Ming-Na Wen.
She's
like
my age-ish. I'm down.
Yeah, for sure. She's interesting. It's hard for me though because I am so used to the Ahsoka cartoon character that it was a little bit jarring. They didn't quite match to me.
I love it because I'm used to it from the cartoon. I thought it was because it's been time now. She's aged. Like I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I dig it. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, by the time we see her, even the oldest we see her towards the end of some of the cartoons,
she's a woman now, not a little girl, right?
She's still like a late teens, early 20s.
Right.
But now she is, you know. Although we do see, so that's not true. We see her again in the later seasons of Rebels.
Yep. Yep.
When she comes back and fights Darth Vader and things like that.
That's right.
And then, of course, at the very end of Rebels, she's there at the very, very, very end of Rebels.
Right.
With, now I'm bad with names. The boy.
Ezra.
In Ezra Bridger.
Yep. Yep.
Again, characters you could have built a sequel trilogy around.
Absolutely.
Well, don't know what the fuck you were doing, Disney.
She's looking for Thrawn because she's looking for Ezra. And Ezra and Thrawn are missing. Right? So... we could get Ezra back in the Ahsoka series, and then that could start an Ezra series. You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing could start a Thrawn series. Like, these things could still happen.
Yeah. Basically, Filoni and Favre are saving Star Wars.
It. Yes.
One TV show at a time.
Correct. Yep.
My goodness. All right. Well, I think that's probably about it for the show.
A lot longer than we talked about it going, but it was good.
Yeah, but we had fun talking, and hopefully everybody enjoyed listening to us talk about some nerd TV. I know this is mostly a gaming podcast, but I think it's well established that we're nerds in general. We've talked about a lot of Star Wars on this show before. The Witcher is a game, is a show.
There's
I think it's a lot of Star Wars games.
You talked about the depth of story of Matrix. There is a whole Matrix game that has a huge following of people that love that Matrix game, and it's got a really damn good story that goes outside of the actual original trilogy.
I don't think I've ever actually played that game.
Yeah, it's. I think it's an MMO. That's why you hadn't played it.
Oh, it's an MMO.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. If it's an MMO, I definitely would not have played it.
Yep. Yep. Nope.
All right. Well, let's wrap up real quick and get out of here. We're moving into January, so there's a few little bits and pieces coming up. We've talked about before God of War coming out on PC on January 15th, Rainbow Six Extraction January 20th, Monster Hunter Rise for PC on January 22nd. The Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection on PS5, January 28th, and the new Pokemon Arceus, January 29th. So some stuff to look forward to before February gets real crazy, real fast. Xbox Live Gold and PlayStation Plus for January have been announced. They're about to be available coming up this week, so make sure you keep your eyes out for those. There is still the crazy Steam sale going on. There's still a massive end-of-year sale on the PlayStation Store and on the Xbox Store. Wherever you game, there is big gaming sales going on right now. I know Steam is through January 5th. I think the Xbox or the PlayStation 1 is through January 5th as well. I can't remember what the Xbox Store is.
Is that Christmas money you got?
Exactly. Go find yourself something to play. Go find your next big game. And if you need it, I personally don't need a game right now. I need to finish what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And I need to get to Guardians of the Galaxy because I really want to play that. I bought it when it came out a couple months ago and I still haven't played it. So, but if you need a game, lots of sales happening. Go check that out. Yep. Otherwise, I think that's it. Jason, you want to take us out?
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the 76th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook. We will be back again next Friday with episode number 77. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.